Hello and thank you for tuning into Sideline Story, your destination for sports news, analysis, and discussions. I'm your host, Brandon Yates, and as always, I'm joined by my two phenomenal co-hosts, Yang Guang and Tianyu. And today we are going to be discussing a bit of a sleeping giant in European football, I'd say. I think with all of the drama that's been going on in the Bundesliga and the Premier League and even in La Liga, I think Serie A has kind of been in the back of a lot of football fans' minds, unless you're supporting a Serie A team. But Inter Milan have quietly gone about their business and done some incredible things and have delivered a sensational performance in Serie A this season. I mean, I suppose they disappointed a little bit in the Champions League compared to last season, where they managed to get to the final against City. But that being said, just their pretty much total dominance of the Serie A and the fashion in which they ultimately claimed the Scudetto was pretty phenomenal indeed. And I think it will be remembered for quite some time. And I also think it's a model that a lot of other European teams can look at and analyze to maybe change the way that they've approached certain things, like Manchester United, for example. And I'll make that comparison a little bit later on. But staying with Inter Milan, Yang Guang, a really fantastic season, scored the most goals, conceded the least, delivered a really phenomenal season, even considering all the changes that they went through and the success they managed to achieve last season. So when you look at the team that they had to rebuild, what's been behind their success, particularly in the Serie A this season?
First of all, congratulations to Inter Milan. What a dominant season. What a classic win in that Milan derby. by the way, the Milan derbies these seasons have been one-sided almost. It seems like Inter has found a winning formula against AC Milan.
They sure have.
They've made the statement that Milan belongs to blue and black.
And I hope there's no AC Milan fans watching or listening at the moment, because those fans, particularly the Inter and the AC Milan fans, are probably some of the fiercest out there in the world. And also, you know, we mentioned Inter lifting the Serie A title, but to do it against AC Milan in that fashion, I don't think it's actually ever been done before, if I'm not mistaken, where they actually lifted the title in a match against AC Milan and celebrated in front of their bitter rivals. So I think that's going to be something that Inter fans will remind AC Milan fans about for a long time. Yeah, yeah. But also I think something that the Milan players and the AC Milan fans will not forget anytime soon. And I'm sure they'll be dying for revenge.
Just this, imagine celebrating in front of the AC Milan fans for the title. It's just
it's like when Arsenal celebrated a title win at Old Trafford. I mean, it was I think it was like 20 years ago, but it's something that United fans just cannot forget.
And we saw another fire barrel in the derby game. The conflict between the two sides reminded me of the old Milan derby, filled with drama, intensity, and red cards all over the place.
And flares amongst the fans.
I love it. Talking about this Inter squad, I would say they are really good at finding those seemingly behind-the-times players, some veterans who have passed their prime.
Agreed.
That's a nice way of saying cheap old men. Yes. No, look, I get it, though. Like, I think sometimes when you have the ability to go out there and get an experienced player that other teams have overlooked for a low price is quite a smart move. It reminds me of the film, have you ever seen Moneyball? Where it talks about transformation that happened in Major League Baseball, where the Oakland Athletics managed to use analytics to sign players for very low fees that other teams had overlooked. And it sounds like Inter's done something similar.
Yeah, like their players, Mkhitaryan, Juan Cuadrado, Matteo Darmian. I must say they've hired good scouts, Inter. I think their only big spending last summer was on Benjamin Pavard, but still, he only cost Inter like 30 million euro.
And he's also proved to be one of their best players. So.
Other cool players like Marcus Thuram and the names I just mentioned were basically free transfers.
Yeah.
Inter was really careful about how they spend money. There are financial reasons behind, not only for Inter, but other Italian teams as well. But Inter really spent their money smartly, I think. Inter reminds me of the Hollywood movie, The Expendables.
Okay.
Led by...
Minus the steroids.
Yeah, Sylvester Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, yeah.
Jet Li. Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Bruce Willis.
Yeah, all of the girly men in Hollywood. Yeah,
yeah, the older guns.
The softies. No, yeah. those are like all of Hollywood's hardest men. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but that's a good example where like they're older, but they can still, I mean, they half of them are in their 60s, but they could, I mean, I'm 31 and they could probably beat me up pretty easily.
Yeah, Inter looks like that cast. They seem to be on the downhill. Mm. But at Inter, they give a second push in their professional career. Mm. And Inzaghi really put them together and make a piece and form a really competitive force, not only in Serie A, but in Europe.
Yeah, they made some interesting moves. I mean, they got rid of the likes of Lukaku, Brazovic in midfield. Yeah. Onana came to United. Thanks for that, Inter. but I think they offloaded in the region of 130 million euros worth of players, and then they signed 14 players that only cost about 60 million euros. Mm-hmm. And what they've managed to achieve with that team has been pretty phenomenal. And yeah, I think a lot of those players were overlooked, but they've come into Inter and they've performed really well. And I think the players deserve credits, but Inzaghi also deserves credit for, mm-hmm, I think, creating a almost family-like atmosphere in the dressing room. And brought in key players in key positions. I also think that the partnership between Captain Lautaro Martinez and the free signing of Marcus Thuram has been amazing.
Yeah. Mm.
And Martinez has also really stepped up as captain. Mm. You know, funny enough, there's also three or four key players in that Inter team that are diehard Inter Milan fans too. And I think, honestly, like, I know it sounds funny because you think of footballers as being professionals and they should give their all no matter what. But I think, you know, they are human beings at the end of the day. And I think if you are a fan of your club and you're playing for that club, I think it, you know, if you're giving 100% in every game, if you're playing for the team that you support, I think you give 120%.
Yeah.
And if you've got four or five players that can do that, I think that can make a major difference. Again, I know I keep mentioning United because I'm a United fan. And I just can't believe the direction United are going in at the moment. It's so anti everything that football used to stand for when they were successful. But I also think of the likes of young players. It's a little bit different, but they were United supporters that came through. Gary Neville, Phil Neville, David Beckham, Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes, that were kind of unknowns, but then went on to achieve incredible success with a combination of talent, but also being through and through Manchester United men. And there's a little bit of that at Inter. So I think there's a combination of various factors that people, including Inter fans, probably didn't see when the season began. But as the season progressed, leading to the point where Inter lifted that Scudetto, clearly the combination of all of those formulas has brought incredible success. Mm. And I hope that other teams, including Manchester United, look at that.
Learned a lesson.
Tianyu, when you look at, I would say, the surprising fashion in which Inter Milan lifted that Scudetto, what have you made of it? What do you think they got right?
Well, I think it's a great season for Inter, as they really kind of got off to a bad start and somehow managed to overcome all the problems. And at the beginning of the season, they didn't even have like a starting goalkeeper, as they sold Andre Onana to Manchester United.
Thanks again for that.
And they lost a bunch of other key players as well, like you said, Romelu Lukaku, adding Dzeko, and Marcelo Brozovic.
Yeah.
Particularly the departure of Lukaku, whose betrayal has angered many Inter fans.
To put it lightly, they were burning his shirts. They went absolutely mental.
That's dealt a heavy blow to the team's attacking lineup.
Well, that's what we thought, right?
Yeah.
Because it clearly proved to be something good for them.
Yeah, but for Inter, it must feel like getting betrayed by a husband who promises to live the rest of his life with you and go to have dinner with another woman the next day.
But historically, between AC Milan and Inter, we've seen a lot of domestic disputes and cheating and lover spats. Because if you think of R9, Ronaldo, Ibrahimovic, Hernan Crespo, I think there's been lots of so Andrea Pirlo.
There you go.
So many players that apparently don't believe in the sanctity of marriage when it comes between Inter and AC Milan. They are very happy. Lots of cheating in the Serie A.
It's dirty.
Yeah, and apparently it's continuing. Yeah, Lukaku's keeping up the trend.
Yeah. And more importantly, it like kind of ruined their plan for the lineup. If they knew Lukaku would leave the team, I think Inter wouldn't have let Dzeko go easily.
Yeah.
And they ended up with Lautaro Martinez the only viable striker before the season started. And
not a bad option to have, though. I mean, yeah, a World Cup winner, yeah, a proven goal scorer. Yeah. I mean, I know, look, the loss of Lukaku and Dzeko, considering their talent and their experience, is a huge loss. But I think it's, well, it seems like Martinez really took that to heart,
yeah,
and stepped up, man, yeah, really stepped up.
Did what the captain needs to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a crisis, Inter made a few right decisions that I think has largely led to their successes to this season. First of all, the basic strategy that Simone Inzaghi took this season was to shift their focus on Serie A. Last season, their decision to fight their way to in the Champions League and downplay their efforts in the domestic league has earned them the runner-up, the honor of runners-up in UEFA.
Yeah, phenomenal achievement, though, because no one expected that. And also, it must be nice for Simone to get the headlines over his brother for a change.
Yeah, they were like the biggest black horse last season.
And no one saw them coming. Yeah. I mean, as a United supporter, I don't watch the Champions League that much anymore, unfortunately. I get to watch the Europa League or the Conference League. But, I mean, Inter kind of sailed past everybody and no one expected them to even get to, I think, the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
So to see them playing against that dominant City team and actually not play too badly in that final was amazing.
Just conceded one goal, I think.
They
had chances to equalize even.
It
was back and forth. And this season was exactly the contrary. They rotated their squad in the Champions League and went all out in Serie A. And also, in terms of tactics, Inzaghi gave a lot of freedom to his players on the pitch. He made sure the newcomers can integrate into the squad as quickly as possible. And
but maybe that's where the signing of some of those older players was quite intelligent as well, because there's definitely a good combination of youth and experience. Yeah,
the chemistry.
Yeah.
Another factor to their success is the players they signed, the likes of Benjamin Pavard and Yang Sommer.
Yes.
And
I've always liked him, though. I know he gets a bit of a bad rap, but whenever I've seen him perform, particularly in the Bundesliga, I always thought he was a fantastic shot stopper.
Yeah, he's
Yang Sommer for 6 million euro. It's almost a free transfer.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering the experience and talent that he has. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a bad game that he's ever had. I've always liked him as a player.
He has been reliable all the time. Yeah, and these players are really solid replenishments to their squad.
Whereas Onana thinks he's like a centre back or a midfielder or something. I don't know what's going on at United, but goalkeeping seems to be the last thing on his mind.
Yeah. And it seems like Inter can always get the players they need, even though they're found for transfer window is pretty limited.
Yeah.
And I think that is largely thanks to their young boss, Zhang Kangyang.
But he's also brought in some other very intelligent football minds to supplement what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
I think there was some football executive from Juventus that joined Inter. Yeah. I think he's also been key in some of Inter signings. I can't think of his name, but I think he was a big part of Juve's success in the past.
Yeah,
I think he's made some clever appointments.
Yeah, I think not many bosses of other clubs can do what he did. Zhang gave a big say and a lot of trust to his manager in terms of the choices of players in the squad. And he was really supportive for the club. Many other football managers.
Sorry, the chief executive, Beppe Marotta. That's the guy that he brought in. And I think he's been, along with Simone Inzaghi, I think them together with Zhang, I think have been very instrumental in getting those players that have brought them success, but also critically, like we've already mentioned, for costs that they could afford.
Making smart decisions.
Mm.
Yeah, and many other football club owners are more like bossy, and they always had a bad relationship with their managers. And a case in point would be Chelsea's boss, Todd Bowley.
And United, for like the last decade, yes, we've had people making decisions about the club that know nothing about football and are only concerned about financials.
Yeah, if you take a look at the Chelsea squad this season and their game results, you would know how important it is for a club owner to be just supportive and stay out of the other businesses of the club.
Yeah, he took over the team when Inter was struggling with financial crisis. But step by step, Zhang managed to put the team back on track by making cost-effective deals in the transfer market. Mm. And Zhang gave full support to the coaching team and the players. He hired a completely local team to operate the team and created a healthy atmosphere inside the team. He really gets along with the players. For example, after Inter won the Serie A title, the players video messaged Gian from the pitch.
Yeah.
And Federico Di Marco immediately asked for a salary raise.
Yeah.
I mean, he surely knows what time to ask that question.
Mm.
But as a Chinese boss, he didn't earn trust in the beginning, Zhang. I remember there were a lot of questions from Inter fans, even from China, about Zhang's future with the club.
Mm.
He's too young. He knows nothing about football. Mm. He just sees Inter as a toy.
Yeah.
Things like this. But it turned out he brought Inter out of the mess and won 7 titles in 4 seasons.
And I like a word that you mentioned there earlier. He kept it local. Yeah. And I think that was an important move. I think a lot of foreign owners come in and use people and models that worked in their country or with their team and try and apply it to a different culture and a different team. And Zhang didn't do that with Inter. He kept a lot of Serie A experts within his team that were making decisions with regards to tactics with Inzaghi, Morata, with decisions about transfers and that kind of thing. So I think that he puts, he's still the big boss at the end of the day, but I think he also put Serie A and Italian football culture experts in key positions off the field, and then brought in a lot of players that also have experience in Serie A on the field, and did so for low fees. So I think that the way that he delegated, I think, was very, very smart.
Yeah.
He didn't go in there trying to put his stamp on the club. He delegated incredibly well, and I think that's a sign of a very good leader.
There was a poll recently, and it showed that over 60% of Inter fans in Italy want to see Zhang continue to lead the club because they are really happy about things happening now with this team. Yeah.
And that's understandable. And I mean, when we've talked about Inter's success and how incredibly well they're doing. Tianyu Napoli, what's happened there? Because they were probably one of the shouts at the beginning of the season to go on and achieve incredible success. And they have been doing well in the last, 2, 3, 4 seasons. But this season, absolutely nowhere.
I think the biggest loss for Napoli this season is the departure of their manager, Luciano Spalletti. He's the reason why Napoli can earn the Serie A title last season.
Yeah.
And he had formed his prestige and gained trust from his players in the first place during the last 2 seasons in the team.
They brought in Rudy Garcia.
Yeah.
And then I think he left after 16 games. And the Napoli president, De Laurentiis, also said something very negative about him. He said, I think Garcia said something like, I don't even watch Serie A.
Yeah,
like I've never watched Napoli play.
That was insane.
Yeah, yeah. And then De Laurentiis was like, geez, if I had known that, I would have gotten rid of him after 1 game. Something like that. But I mean, so there was a terrible replacement to bring in for Spalletti, who had achieved so much success with Napoli.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's hard to find a club owner that can be totally supportive to his manager. Spalletti had a clash with Napoli boss De Laurentiis in terms of his contract extension and salary things, and he left the club. De Laurentiis thought that with the talent pool he has, all the brilliant players the team has, the likes of Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia, Napoli can stride
on. That's the Georgian player. I just call him the Georgian player because I have no idea how to pronounce his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about. He's been linked with Real Madrid, and he's an amazing player.
We can call him KK.
Yeah, let's call him KK. But he's a fantastic player.
Yeah, he's a fantastic
And the partnership
player.
With him and Osimhen is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So the owner think that Napoli can stride on without Spalletti, and the results proved he was totally wrong. The three coaches after Spalletti was gone, they were nowhere near Spalletti.
Yeah, it's Garcia, Mazzarri.
Yeah.
I don't even know who their latest coach is.
Me neither.
Yeah.
And the team was once reduced to the relegation zone in during the season.
Mm.
So again, it kind of proved how important it is to have an owner that supports and trusts the jobs of his manager.
Absolutely. But I also think we've mentioned Osimhen, and I think he's also really struggled this season with injuries, and I think he was also away at the Africa Cup of Nations for a while, right? Mm. So do you think, Yang Guang, that also may have had an effect on Napoli's performance, or do you think it's mostly down to De Laurentiis and the argument that he had with Spalletti and just the revolving door of managers, which brings in different tactics and that, it seems like there was a mess created off the field before there was now the mess that we're seeing on the field.
Yeah, the combination of all of those things. I think Spalletti and the other key players' departure really changed the vibe inside this team.
Mm. Mm.
Yes, Napoli didn't start the season well, but it doesn't mean you should frequently change your coach. I mean, having 2 head coaches changed in a single season, no team can play proper football. Mm. No team can keep consistency. It's meant to be a messy season. And Napoli didn't keep the players on some key positions. Selling Kim Min-jae to Bayern was typically a lose-lose situation. Kim never reached the level he did with Napoli, with Bayern, and Napoli made a lot of disappointing deals with the money they earned from that transfer.
I mean, I tend to agree with you, but then look at what Inter did. They rebuilt their squad entirely and it worked out for them. So I think it depends on the situation. And sometimes it's luck, I guess, because Inter's plan and transfer approach could have really failed, but it worked out for them. But so sometimes it is important to keep a core squad of players, again, like United back in the early 2000s, where they kept, you know, some of those players for like 10 years. But then, I mean, what Inter Milan has done with a completely revamped squad is pretty amazing.
I think Napoli's hierarchy should take the responsibility here.
I agree.
If you
so
don't
off the field issues as that caused the on-field issues.
If you don't have a perfect plan B, then stick to plan A.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, look, I guess De Laurentiis couldn't have anticipated all of this to happen. I think, you know, maybe he undervalued Spalletti and maybe certain players that left. So I think decisions were made off the field that they hoped would impact the team positively on the field, but it hasn't worked out that way. But sticking with the Serie A, Tianyu, do you think that they compete with other top leagues around the world? Should we be taking the Serie A more seriously?
Well, I think the Italian clubs are doing really well currently. This season, Inter Milan, Napoli, and Lazio all qualified for the knockout rounds of the Champions League. And in Europa League, they have Roma and Atlanta all through to the semifinals.
Right.
So I think Serie A may not have any money, but at least their clubs are fighting hard on the pitch.
I think where they deserve credit is that their mid-level teams have become stronger. And I think that's very important for a league success. We're starting to see it in Bundesliga. It's always, well, for the last decade, I would say it's been there in the Premier League. In the Serie A and La Liga, I think that's always been an issue. But I think looking at the Serie A now, where they might be a little bit ahead of La Liga, for example, is the performances of their mid-table teams.
Yeah.
Whereas in La Liga, it's still kind of Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico, three or four teams. But again, you normally only have two teams competing for the title, whereas things have seemingly opened up in Serie A, which is great for... from the neutral's perspective, Yanghua?
Well, I think Serie A is still a competitive league, but not anymore an attractive destination for star players, top players.
Yeah.
Financial reasons, I guess?
Yeah.
Serie A feels like a very old yet seasoned hunter to me. He can still get praise, but not the best ones, because his legs are becoming heavy.
Yeah.
And,
but he still gets the job done. Maybe not flashy, but still gets it done. Maybe that should be the Serie A like slogan. Not super flashy, but we get the job done. Because that's what Inter Milan, I mean, that's basically what they've done. Haven't really played flashy football. Don't have any big names, but they got the job done.
Yeah, Serie A has a really glorious past. And they are proud of this.
I see so many nostalgic videos on social media when, you know, like the likes of Inter Milan and AC Milan are lining up. And it shows like Gattuso and Pirlo and Seedorf and Ronaldinho and...
Shevchenko.
Yeah, Shevchenko, and Maldini and all of these incredible players.
Kaká.
Yeah, Kaká. And I think all that generation has gone. And I think that's what... And funny enough, even people that watch Serie A or don't watch Serie A now, but think of that league, they still think of that time.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that time was almost like 20 years ago. So I think that period of Serie A has gone. But I think the performances of the likes of Inter and the increase in strength of those mid-table teams, it makes the Serie A and some of their teams a dark horse. I think particularly in European competitions, like you mentioned, Tianyu. So I think that's kind of their advantage at this stage, is that people underestimate them. And I think that's going to lead to, well, it's led to Inter's success in Serie A, but it also could lead to other teams' success, maybe not necessarily in the Champions League, but in competitions like the Europa League and that kind of thing. Yeah. I think Italian teams are heavily underestimated. But I think as things stand, massive congratulations to Inter Milan, and hopefully other teams like Manchester United and other, you know, teams with massive budgets and that sort of thing can look at that Inter Milan model and hopefully bring some of that success to their own team. But that is all we have time for on this week's episode of Sideline Story. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, we will be back next week with our latest topic, and we'll see you then.